the Tbilisi, Georgia-born violinist Lisha Badashvili moved to Hamburg, Germany when she was 13 years old. She has a very early experience with Prokofiev's first violin concerto. She remembers tackling that concerto when she was 13 with her new teacher, Mark Lubotsky. It's become a cornerstone of her repertoire, and she's played it so many times over the years. Let's hear more from Lisha Badashvili herself about what it was like to tackle the D major violin concerto from Prokofiev.
Well, I must say it was quite challenging because I had played a lot of classical repertoire and some romantic concertos, but this Prokofiev world I hadn't yet experienced. And especially the first concerto, it's not like you can read immediately how to actually describe this music and describe the characters. You have to have a very, very particular color and a special line and phrasing that you have to learn as a 13-year-old. I mean, now my daughter is now 13, so I can somehow imagine myself in that age. What really helped me, of course, was the fact that my teacher was Mark Lubotsky in Hamburg, who was himself a former student of David Oistrakh. So his approach was very interesting because the lessons, when I got lessons with him between my age of 12 and 14, most of the time he would give me books rather than a real musical lesson. So he would tell me, read this book and then you have to understand this and that. So it was not technical lessons, but more lessons about understanding the works. And after a while, I think when I first performed this concerto with orchestra, which was in Chicago in 1996, I think, it was much easier because then I got to hear all these colors of the concerto, which are so spectacular, all the different wind instruments that support. And then suddenly you understand that all, this whole music is about theater. It's about telling stories and describing all these incredible characters of the imaginary world of Prokofiev. At some point, it became more and more clear, and now it's really one of my most beloved concertos.
You've revisited it all this time later and put it down for a recording. So I'm wondering how that piece has changed over time for you.
I mean, I couldn't say how much it changed, but it has become part of me. And I think that's the goal for most of the works that we perform, that somehow it is organically part of you. And I feel some kind of very special comfort playing number one concerto. There is so much more than just music or even just amazing musical experience. There is some state of mind that is possible to achieve through this piece. You know, it's not material anymore. It's something very subconscious, but still at the same time, incredibly comforting.
You've mentioned how Prokofiev had this distinct ability to meld East and West and have them intermingle. And I would love to hear you articulate on that point and how Prokofiev was able to do that.
Well, I think he was one of those composers who was very curious and interested in Western culture, and he wanted to get inspired, especially by the French music and literature and also arts in general. He was a very patriotic person. He was very close to his homeland, but at the same time, he was not someone who would be satisfied with just seeing what was happening around him and not really discovering the other part of the world. And for that time, it was something very special. And he, of course, at the end of all his travels, he decided to return to his homeland, which is also quite interesting because he found his place at the end was his birthplace. So in some ways, his music has become very interesting and very colorful throughout all his experiences around the world.
We had a lot of time to discuss the D major. Let's discuss the contrasting points with the other concerto, maybe how they work well together and what their contrasting points are.
Of course, he has had a lot of years between the first concerto and the second concerto, and his style changed a little bit. He's maybe become more concrete in the second concerto. He's more, you know, with the life experience, there is kind of a little bit more digging into the reality, especially in the third movement. And in the first concerto, it's still very, very dreamy and very abstract and at the same time imaginary. Nevertheless, I think also in the second movement, you have this magical moments. It's clearly a love theme that is very close to Romeo and Juliet, which was the piece that he wrote just after the second violin concerto. So this next opus, I think some of the parts of Romeo and Juliet were already born in his second violin concerto. So developing and going further and further.
And then finally, my last question would be, what it was like to work with this orchestra on this recording, maybe the flavor of the orchestra and what they brought to the recording of the two violin concertos?
The Chamber Orchestra of Europe, for me, is a very unique group of people that it's not an orchestra that plays together all the time. It's a mixture of all the fantastic musicians around Europe, all countries of Europe, starting from Norway until Greece and Spain, Italy, Germany. And they all come together for particular projects throughout the year to play together. And you can feel that each of them is there because they love playing together, because they love playing in that moment the particular repertoire with the musicians that they play together with. And this is very unique because each time you feel that freshness and energy. And for me, it's been a long time dream to record with them because we've performed a lot together with this orchestra and also with Yannick, of course, Yannick Nézet-Séguin, who is one of my most favorite musicians of my life. And I think this combination was something, from the one hand, something obvious that had to happen one day. And on the other hand, I think that I'm one of the luckiest people. I'm so grateful that it could really happen because it was not easy to set it up together. And I think that what they gave to this recording is simply their very honest and genuine and fresh attitude to the music.
Thank you so much for talking to me and congratulations on the beautiful new album.
Thanks very much, and all the best to you.